All right, and as previously stated, we are so excited to hear the voice of our elder Sanders. Last Saturday morning, we heard part one, and this morning we're going to hear part two of Take a Lickin' and Keep on Tickin' from our very own elder Sanders. What an honor. Thank you again, Sister Sanders, for allowing us this opportunity. What a blessing it is for everyone. And with that said, Brother Jacob Roseberry, who's helped us tremendously with this, go ahead and let's get that started, Brother Jacob.
If the mind is a terrible thing to waste, what about the soul? Nobody or anyone can save your soul but you. I love my wife. I cannot save her soul. I try to be an example to her, try to help her. Pastor Clark tries to help us. He cannot save us. You have to make that decision. I believe with all my heart that there's a heaven and there's a hell. I don't like pain. I don't like pain. I don't want to be a disappointment to the Lord. I don't want to be a disappointment to him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." When you turn. Remember, we're going to try to enter in at the straight gate. Straight gate is narrow. It's narrow and it's tight. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're fighting against a lot of things. We're fighting against God's grace. We're fighting against the end time. We fighting against the devil. We fighting against television and internet and false doctrine. We fighting against all of that. We got to get this apostolic doctrine deep in our souls. I don't believe there's any other church, if they call themselves a church. We have the truth. Bible tells us we have to repent, have to have a change of mind about the life that we're living. It's got to be godly sorrowful. God accepts that as repentance. God will fill us with the Holy Ghost. Now that's God's Spirit living inside of us. You got to keep that fine-tuned. You got to pray, you got to fast, you got to read the Word. Holy Ghost is not going to make you be saved. It's going to help you be saved, but you got to keep it sharp. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and you got to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. That's only going to come through prayer, fasting, and reading the Word. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child of God left to himself bringeth himself to shame. We have to be corrected. It's awful quiet. We have to be corrected. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. We have to be corrected. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. There's things we have to learn about this walk. If we're married, we got to learn about our wives and our husband. And have children, we got to learn about them. It's going to take correction. In the book of Psalms, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's Psalms 119, verse 67. But now have I kept thy word. Psalms 119 and 71 said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Sometimes it takes correction. Sometimes it takes a setback or a defeat to get our attention. If you're always winning, I don't think you learn that much from that. I'm in the process of taking chess lessons from my wife. She's wearing me out. My wife beat me so fast a couple weeks ago, two games in a row. I think she only did about two or three moves. The thing was done. But that ain't always going to happen, see. That ain't always going to happen. That's right, King's got one more move. I ain't through yet. I'm down, but I ain't out. My wife knows I hate to lose. I don't want to lose to nobody. I don't want to lose to Pastor Clark. I love Pastor Clark. I don't want to lose to Pastor Clark. I'm taking lessons from my wife. No, it ain't. No, it ain't good. It might be good for you. It might be good, Sister Evelyn. Whew. In Psalms 119:75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. God is going to do it out of love. Out of love. I don't know that we understand God's love. I don't know that we understand it. I don't know. I don't know that we understand His holiness. I don't know if we understand that. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the total absence of sin. No. And it's going to take a whole lot of correction for us to get there. Holy, without spot, wrinkle, no blemishes. You don't need to look at no one but yourself. Don't look at no one but yourself. I'm looking at Brother Sanders. I'm old Brother Sanders. I'm all spotted up, wrinkled up, blemished up. I'm trying to get them off of me and out of me. I want to see the Lord in peace. I want to see the Lord in peace. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, it says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord knows our thoughts afar off. What I don't like to think about too much is the Lord knows what I'm going to do like next year if the Lord tears and I'm here. I don't like that too much, but that's the way it is. He knows every thought that's going to come into my mind, every foolish thought, every foolish, he knows all of that, even before it happens. And he just said, come on, son, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Just brush yourself off. It's going to be all right. I'm down, but I ain't out. I'm bending, but I'm not going to break. I'm going to do this thing. It's in my heart to do this thing. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, let's see, I want verse 1 also. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. We have some weights. We have sins. If we don't get rid of them weights, they will turn into sin. We sure enough need to get rid of the sin. But we got to get rid of the weights. Verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons or daughters. For what son or daughter is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. He said, I'm not your father. I'm not your father. If I can't correct you, and you can't take it, I'm not your father. I'm not your father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh in the natural, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, those that are benefited or profited by that correction. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. I think I've told you before, you always want to be on the right hand of God. All the bad stuff is over here on his left. You want to be on the right hand of God. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the sheep. That's those that have been corrected, made changes in their life. In God's eyesight, they have been perfected. Your perfection is not my perfection. God is requiring some things from you that He's not requiring from me. There's some things He's requiring from me that He's not requiring from you. It's an individual thing. But He is requiring obedience. He's requiring holiness. He's requiring submission. He is requiring those things. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Everlasting means there's no end to it. There's no end to it. Everlasting. There's no end to it. Cannot imagine the grief that some people are going to go through. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and don't make the rapture. Cannot imagine. Cannot imagine the grief. Cannot imagine. There's people that live to be 100 years old. If the Lord blesses us with a good old age, it cannot compare to eternity. Cannot compare. Got to be very careful what you look at, what you listen to, what you read, where you go, who you hang around with, where you live. Got to be careful. Can't hang around everybody. Can't hang around all the saints. There's some saints that's not on your level. And all they're going to do is drag you down. I'm not talking about going around with your head in the air and holier than thou. I'm not talking about that. You just can't hang with everybody. You didn't hang with everybody when you was in the world. So why are you going to come in here and be hanging with everybody? All they're going to do is drag you down. I want somebody that's going to help me in my walk with the Lord. If you can't help me, leave me alone. I'm doing bad enough by myself. I'm serious. You can't help me. Just don't you have to say praise the Lord. I ain't going to get mad at you. Just go. I'm trying to make heaven my home. It says in verse 46, Matthew 25, 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Get a grip on that. Get a grip on that. What this is all about. Out of all the people in the world, the Lord started with the Jews. Out of all the people. The smallest of all people. Not because they were a great nation, because He loved them. Out of all the billions of people in the world, God chose us. God chose us. Now, we're just a few here tonight, but God chose us. It's like a baseball draft or a football or basketball, and they draft someone. They draft the number one or something. It's a privilege to be on a certain team or whatever. It's a privilege to be apostolic. It's a miracle to have all your sins washed away. It's a miracle to speak in a language that you have not been taught. God gives you a new heart and a new mind. He gives you instruction in His Word. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do this. This flesh is a mess. I think it was yesterday I was laying around and I'm just thinking about the Lord and I'm just praying and meditating and man, I'm just so proud of myself. And then later on my mind's in a gutter somewhere. Same day. I ain't talking about no 2 weeks, a month now. I'm talking about same day. You got to nip it in the bud. When the devil brings a thought to your mind, you got to nip it in the bud. I mean, it's nice to lay there and you think about the goodness of the Lord and, Lord, I love you and amen. It is all good. The devil said, I got something for you. When you get through with all that, I got something for you. And I was having church with the devil. Got to nip it in the bud. The thought of foolishness is sin. In Mark chapter 9, verse 44, it says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 46 says the same thing, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This is talking about people that's going to hell. Now, I think the worm is the soul, because that's the only part of man that does not die. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Where the worm dieth not, soul is going to live forever. And I think it's referring to the soul, that where their worm dieth not. The soul feels pain. I don't want no part of that. In my conclusion, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Not trying to put anyone to shame. I want you to think. I want you to think. You can't let anything or anyone be more important to you than the Lord. I'm asking the Lord to put those things in me that be of you. Put them in me. Get those things out of me. It's not pleasing to you. When I pray, knowing me like I know me, I say, Lord, keep a tight rein on me. Keep a tight rein on me. I did enough foolishness when I was out there in the world. Trying to get myself together with the help of the Lord. Keep a tight rein on me. I'm not talking about my buddy, Brother Jeff Sprinkle over there. Lord, keep a tight rein on that brother. I'm talking about Brother Jeff. I'm talking about me. Me. What I've said tonight, I asked the Lord, when I found out the pastor wanted me to teach, what am I going to say to him? What do you want me to say? I just want to help you. I want to help myself. I want you to think about your walk with the Lord. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it before you do it, if you're going to do it. I want you to come to the altar. And I want you to come in faith. I want you to come in faith. Believe, I don't care what it is, that the Lord's going to work these things out of you, whatever it is. I'm going to be down there with you. 'Cause I got some things in me that need to be worked out. But I want you to come if you have a mind to. But I want you to come in faith, believing that God is going to work those things out of you. The altar is open.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and I believe that concludes Elder Sanders' message this morning, but I believe our pastor wants to say something. Pastor Clark, can you hear me all right, sir?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, and you're coming in loud and clear, Pastor. Go ahead, sir.
Church, I would like to say, and I want to announce and let you know ahead of time what we are going to do concerning services tomorrow. This entire week with the governor's new mandate has thrown us into a dilemma trying to figure out what to do. First of all, Wednesday night was great, and I heard nothing but good reports about what happened Wednesday night with church. It felt good, temperature was good, and anyway, it was really, really good. And so I'm thankful that we have the building located the way it is and we have that shade there. I've been thinking about Sunday morning, or Sunday in general, I should say. I wasn't sure what to do, and so I did announce definitely we would have service Sunday night in front of the main sanctuary. I did not announce anything about Sunday morning because I was not sure what we could do, but this is what I do want to announce. We will be having church Sunday morning on the backside of the gym. We will be starting church at 9:00 in the morning. And the reason that we're doing it earlier is because I've been out here today since early this morning watching the shadows and watching the time. And if we start at 10:00, the shadow back here is going to become smaller and leave us in the sun. So I'm announcing we will be having full-scale church tomorrow morning. We will not be having Sunday school classes tomorrow morning, but I'm going to announce that we will have Sunday school classes next Sunday. It'll be in various buildings scattered through the property, and the kids can be distanced so that they will be okay to be in a classroom. So 9:00 in the morning, which means let's gather in at 8:30 out here for prayer, and then we're going to ask Brother Stephen with all of the youth to be here at 8:00 and be ready to set up everything so that we are ready to have service tomorrow morning. I also want to say that we are working on considering, we've been spending time, we've gotten some advice on putting some kind of a sale up in front of the new church so that we could have Sunday morning over there and not have to come to the backside of the gym. We are working on it. We're trying to weigh it all out and make a decision, but I wanted to let you know what we're going to be doing for tomorrow. Let's make tomorrow a great day, and it's going to be good to get up a little earlier and get here. We'll have good church, and then we'll have service again tomorrow night. God bless you. We'll see you. Brother.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Clark. And once again, we're thankful for Elder Sanders and the message he gave us this morning. We learned that we can learn from our wives, church. We learned that Sister Sanders can play chess. But also, Elder Sanders says that the king has one more move. What a tremendous message we heard this morning. With that said, we want to remind everyone to join us at our Unity Boxcar Race at Spruce Park in Rancho Cucamonga this morning at 11 a.m. And we want to invite everyone to come back to this conference call this evening for our youth devotion tonight at 7:15 a.m. Praise the Lord to everyone. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.